Fighters, today I'm excited to bring on real estate expert, podcast host, and all-around cool human being who's, I would call him an expert on productivity and time blocking and things like that, Chris Bello. He's the host of Entrepreneur Motivation Podcast, which is a top 100 business podcast. He's interviewed some pretty big guests like Dean Graziosi and Dan Locke and people like that. He's come out of the gate really hard and really crushed his results in the real estate industry. He does it virtually. He works deals in real estate in Houston, but he lives in Denver, which is pretty cool. And what we're reason I'm bringing him on here today, guys, is he just has a nice take on how to identify your critical tasks and be more productive through time blocking and outsourcing and things like that, which I know is a struggle for so many contractors. So anyway, give this a listen. And without further ado, here's my buddy, Chris Bello. Chris, welcome to the fight. How you doing, man?
Doing great. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing well. So, all right, in your intro, I shared a bunch of podcasts and all these cool things with real estate and fitness and stuff. What's something somebody wouldn't know about you from the bio?
I'd probably say, if you see my Instagram story, I know this is going to probably go live in a couple of weeks or whatever, right? But for anyone who watches my story, I don't post about it as much, but I do love like heavy metal music. I was just at a show here in Denver last night, and a lot of people wouldn't expect that. They're like, really? I wouldn't have thought you liked that kind of music. And I'm like, I've been listening to it since I was in middle school. So
well, there you go.
Man. I have a big taste in music, but that's been a very strong foundation of it.
Are you a musician?
I have played the drums since fifth grade. Yeah.
All right. Well, I've played the drums since I was nine. So
well, very cool.
There you go. And I did a lot of studio work and live work and things like that through the years. And at one point brought up the metal stuff.
I love the intro of your podcast. I listened to it. I was like, whoa, this sounds like the show I was at.
I had like a 13 piece double bass, you know,
all crazy the cymbals.
Kit with all the cymbals. And now what do I have now? Now I have a four-piece little Pearl sitting in the corner over here. So
yeah, same. When we moved here, I didn't bring it, but I've made a friend real fast who owns a drum set, so I could go play in his place.
That's awesome, man. Favorite drummer is?
Travis Barker has been one of the big ones. You know, always listen to them. And then, of course, Matt Griner with August Burns Red. Yesterday, I saw him at, I forget the venue name. Again, I'm so new here. It's my first time there, but about you?
One of my favorites is a guy named Benny Greb. Benny Greb, G-R-E-B, is a dude out of Germany. He's just so crazy.
I'm about to check it out.
Very musical in the way he plays. So
there's so many talented people. I mean, my mind's always blown on the drum solo part. So
there
I'll definitely look into
Benny Greb then. He's pretty good.
Cool.
So listen, man, wanted to have you on here because some of your expertise is in this whole, I don't want to say time management because I think that's a lame term. I actually use energy management because I think I just have my energy for
units
the day
of and energy
and I get to pick how I'm going to use it. Right. And so I really wanted to have that conversation here today because our audience is full of amazing men and women who are working their asses off to bring value to their clients. They're trying to support their families. And many of them are burning the candle at both ends, struggling with just how to get it all done, right? And then you throw on top of that just the normal, even before the garbage going on in our world and our country right now with unemployment and stuff in the trades. For many, many years, it's been very hard to get people to want to come into the trades.
Right.
And so it's not as easy as just go hire more people, right? So I'd love to have a conversation around that. And I guarantee somebody will walk away with one or two things here that'll help them kick some ass in this area, man.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, we could start wherever. I can start dropping nuggets that I...
start dropping some nuggets, man, and I'll pick them up. How's that?
Sounds good. And feel free to stop me at any point. I mean, there's so many things I've learned. And I know before we hit record, we were talking about, you know, The One Thing. That's an awesome book. I've read The 4-Hour Workweek several times, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, a lot of these foundational books. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these books talking about productivity, time management, maybe like outsourcing, delegating, automating. That was always in my mind, even when I had a day job and I worked in corporate.
Yeah.
And so when I created my real estate business, I always had that idea. How do I do this faster? How do I get this off my plate? Who can do this? Who, not how? That's another great book. Have you ever read that one?
Yep.
that one's really good for just, instead of asking, how do I do this? Like a lot of us get stuck in that. How do I do this? How do I do that? I got to build a website. I got to figure it out. Now you have a problem that you created for yourself versus who can do this for me. That's a solution. I don't have to put it on my whiteboard. I email it to an assistant who gets it done. Yep. So thinking like that is really, really key. I spend a lot of time just thinking like, what does my current process look like? What would my ideal process look like? And what do I need to do today to make that happen?
So you sound like you're pretty dialed in with your time. Have you always been this way?
I'm actually not a very detail-oriented person. I don't know how a lot of people are like, man, you're so detailed. Like you must be an accountant or something with a background. And I had to create these systems for myself because I'm kind of a DI on the DISC profile. I'm very talkative and I can make friends easily, but I can also get sales stuff done and get down to business when I need to. But I'm not very good at systems. I'm not a very detailed person. So when you're like that, you've got to create systems to work within in order to make that actually a success for you, however you define success.
You know, you and I are probably identical on the DISC. I'm a DI. I'm like 100
on the D. I'm stronger on the I.
Okay. So we're flipped a little. I'm like a 85I and 100D.
Okay.
And so if you're listening to this right now, you don't know that Chris just watched me get up and switch rooms into a quieter room because there's stuff going on upstairs. So anyway, so I'm in a room with a bunch of unicorn animals on a couch right now. So there you go. So yeah, I'm a really high D. And here's what's funny, how people say to you, wow, you're really organized or detail oriented stuff. I am going back to the DISC. If you look at the C, which is the attention to detail part, I'm like a 7 when I'm trying. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I think if you're anything like me, we're just extremely clear on what our lane is.
Yes.
And what we need to do. Cause the other thing I hear from people, man, is like they'll DM me or email me and go, hey, I can't imagine how swamped you are and how busy you are and things like that. And now I do a lot. I accomplish a ton of stuff, but I'm really not that busy.
I feel you 100%. I'm like, you know, you don't have to start with that. I don't have anything on the calendar at all today.
All right. So put yourself in the owner operator shoes of a business, in this case, contracting business. It doesn't matter any business because it's all the same, right? You're owning the thing, you're operating it, you're wearing all the hats. How does somebody like that take just one step closer to having a little bit of the freedom that you and I were just talking about?
Yeah. So it's difficult when you first start, because if you read The E-Myth, that's another book. It talks about someone who loves baking. She opens a bakery and now she hates it because she's there at 5 a.m. prepping everything. She's there at 10 p.m. cleaning every single day. So a lot of people create a job for themselves. If I were to say to take one step in the right direction, hire a virtual assistant or some sort of assistant in general. And I found one on Upwork.com. She's based in the Philippines. We've worked together for probably 2 years at this point. Mm-hmm. And she handles everything from getting me on other podcasts, booking guests for my show. She ordered this t-shirt that says Chris Bello Real Estate.
There you go.
I let her design it, ship it to me. I didn't care what it looked like. I just approved the design. So I didn't sit here tinkering with, oh, let me make this shirt to advertise myself for 3 hours. I delegated it to her. She added her time that she spent on there, maybe like an hour and a half or 2 hours to design this and order it and ship it to me. And she just added it to the monthly invoice. So if you can find one person, if you're like a solo operator or contractor, maybe like a real estate agent or sales professional, that opens up your plate entirely because they can handle a lot of the back end stuff that you're probably stuck doing when you first get started.
Yeah. So my assistant, Roz, I met her through LinkedIn.
Okay.
And I think she started with me going on 6 years now. We started at 4 or 5 hours a week and dude, and now she's full time. 2 years ago, she went full time with my company and this is the only place she works. And it took me probably almost a year to figure out
what to get
how to use her in that role. And so somebody hires a VA or any assistant for that matter right now, what's some advice you can give them to get somebody ramped up a little quicker?
Yeah. So the first step that I would take is just do a brain dump. Maybe write down all the things that you do in your business. Even you could even document 2 or 3 days of work. It's a little tedious, but it helps to know where your time is going. And when you do that exercise, you may be like, whoa, I just spent 3 hours doing this. And like, why did I type this same email 5 different times? This should be a template. And you've just been sitting there copying and pasting or whatever, right? So if you do that exercise, I would circle maybe the top 2 or 3 things. What is your best use of your time, your highest value thing? Ideally for us, it may be face-to-face on Zoom calls with potential prospects or clients. That I don't want to outsource usually. I mean, some people do outsource call centers, but if I can be face-to-face, I'm the most effective. I can build rapport. I don't need to be doing all the little tedious things in the background, right? So if you were to write down 10 to 15 things that you do daily, identify the 2 or 3 that you should be focusing on, and then figure out how maybe that assistant can start to take some of those other things off your plate. Perfect example with real estate, I have a transaction coordinator. So say you and I are talking about buying or selling a property. You want to work with me? Awesome. I go to the gym for 2 hours because I'm not going to sit there and write all the paperwork. I send her the email with your name, your last name, first name, phone number, email address, the property address that you have to sell. And she starts to prepare all the paperwork. And I only pay her when the deal closes out of my commission at the very end.
There you go.
That's a perfect use of time, right? I don't need to sit there for an hour and be like, oh, let me fill in all this information that's very standard. All I need are the inputs. She can handle the rest.
How do you identify only the things Chris does?
Only the things Chris does. That's a good question. And sometimes it changes.
Yeah.
Most recently, I had tried to outsource all my social media stuff and the content, but I found a lot of back and forth was happening. You know, I'd have a couple of change requests. And so that's something that I pulled back into my plate where I'm like, you know, well, I don't want to be in Canva fiddling around making graphic designs. I kind of like the creative process, but I also find that it helps me really dial into what am I trying to share with my people?
Yeah.
Versus just trying to delegate that and be like, come up with something. And it's like, you know, 20% of what I would come up with because there's no thought or detail put into it. So that's one thing. And then talking to clients is another.
Hey, fighters. Today's sponsor is Contractor Growth Network. You've heard me talk about them quite a bit, and for good reason. They get results. They help you turn your online presence, your website, and all that stuff into an absolute sales machine. It does you no good to get a bunch of unqualified leads, people that are never, ever going to be your client. So I have an example here, just quick story. You know, a contractor named Anthony, he had $7,000 in his business bank account, and he knew he needed to make a change with his marketing and really send the right message, attract the right people. And so he hired Contractor Growth Network. And when he took what they did, Logan and his team did, and combined that with the foundations he's been building from our 100K program, just a few months later, he's got $190,000 in his business bank account, guys. So listen, we're not playing games here. You have to get oxygen, and that starts with getting the right leads. And so if you're in a position right now where you're sick of the tire kickers, head over to thecontractorfight.com/CGN and have a conversation with Logan and his team. You know, it's funny. I just recently, I'm ramping my game up a little more on Instagram. I used to do a ton on Facebook, and I'll just share this with my audience. Like, me on Facebook is rarely a good thing because I take the bait on certain things, right?
Oh yeah. And it's very easy to just pop in there and fire off a comment.
And I don't like that about myself. So for about the past 3.5-4 weeks now, I have maybe been on once or twice a week for like 5 minutes. And I've given it to Roz and other people on my team and our other coaches in our company to handle that stuff. But I'm doing more on Instagram, and you brought up Canva. It's funny. This is something that I outsource a lot of these things to Roz. And I'm sharing this just to let people know how kind of we work, right?
Yeah.
She's in Canva. She'll create things. She shares them with me. And then if I want to make a little tweak or something, I will. But I find that when I'm involved a little bit in that creative process, it helps give me more clarity on the message I'm going to deliver.
Exactly.
And things like that, especially if I'm going to repurpose, which I usually do. It could literally be a image with little quote or a thought of mine on it. But then in the body of the post, you know, it'll be like, I'll elaborate. Well, just me going through the exercise of elaborating that puts it in my brain. So I've gone through it a couple times. By the time I hit record on a video to do the same thing and repurpose it, I'm just more dialed in. So
100%.
So when I probably spend maybe 10, 15 minutes a day tops, one of the first things in the morning, dialing in that the next couple days Instagram posts or something. So
I find the same to be true. And yeah. I think I just did a podcast episode talking about this, how it's something that I felt I could delegate, but I brought it back, even though I feel like maybe it's not the most efficient use of my time. But the way that I see it, we're really sales and marketing experts until we have someone who's ready to work with us. So mm-hmm. yeah, I would love to talk to 10 people a day about buying or selling a property, but unless I'm doing paid ads, if I'm trying to get that organically through my network, there's steps in between getting those booked calls, right? It's networking, going to a conference, shaking some hands, maybe getting in a clubhouse room. All of those things will lead to people booking a call to buy or sell property with you or whatever it is that you do for a living. Yeah. And so I see myself as a sales and marketer and a content creator until someone books that call. And then, okay, 2 p.m., I got a call with someone who wants to work with me.
Yep. Yeah. So we've, I want to let some people off the hook here to some degree also. There is a season of your business where you are doing everything, you're opening the store, you're shutting the store, you're doing, you know, the job site, whatever it is. But as you evolve, those critical tasks that you're going to only be able to do are going to change. So like my business here in the fight has changed a lot over the years to where I'm pretty much only responsible now for guiding the vision and the culture of the company, building bigger relationships that are more impactful so we can have a bigger impact in the world, and then creating content. Those are my big three. And I still run a couple coaching groups here and there and stuff, but I've hired other people that I've actually mentored myself and brought up and were clients of ours, and a lot of them and are as our coaches. So because I'm seeing I can only have so much impact if I stay in that coach seat. You know,
kind of
like you know, you're gonna go to the gym instead of type all that stuff up because you got to fuel your machine, right? So make sure you're dialed in physically.
Exactly. And that thing that's important, it really depends on what lights you up, right? If you love cold calling people for 3 hours, that's your zone of genius. Focus on that. Me personally, I'd rather do a couple of Facebook Live, Instagram Live videos, right? So I tap into what gives me energy. And I've heard someone talk about this thing. He's a CEO of a company called Carrot, and he talks about the energy audit. He'll write down all the things that gives him energy on one side, all the things that drains his energy. And the things that drain your energy, while they may need to get done, you may not have to do them yourself. You can delegate those things that make you feel like, you know, I don't want to pick up that phone. It takes 30 minutes of looking at that phone before making that call versus, ooh, someone scheduled a call with me on Calendly. We're going to talk at 2. It's a totally different energy for me personally than calling someone out of the blue. When they book me, I show up with energy, with my whole set, you know, my mic and my light set up, and I'm ready to go and serve them because I know what the call's about.
Yeah.
So dialing into what works for you, whoever's listening, that's really key as well.
So let's talk about a term that our audience has heard here, but I don't know if done enough to go deep on what this means and how to use it. Time blocking. For those who don't know what time blocking is, can you share what it is and how you approach it and maybe give some tips on this?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a new concept for everyone who does not use a calendar and kind of just goes with the flow. Time blocking is going to be your best friend. And I recommend using an electronic calendar. I use Google Calendar. It's essentially blocking out a chunk of time to focus on ideally one task, right? Multitasking, I feel, is kind of a myth. We think we can check emails and reply on social media and take a phone call. Every time you interrupt yourself, you're disrupting your state of flow. Whereas if you time block and you say, I'm only going to spend 30 minutes on this one task, phone's on do not disturb, everything else is minimized on my computer, and you go all in on that one task.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's what's funny about time blocking. You've been doing it your whole life. You haven't called it time blocking. So like if you're a contractor listening to this, which you probably are, you have a meeting with Mrs. Jones at 3 o'clock at her house to talk about her project and you show up at 3 o'clock, that's time blocking. This is no different. The problem is when time blocking is often like made to be this big scary thing when it's things like the time I need to block to work on the business.
right.
for a period of time. My first 3 hours of the day, 6 to 9 a.m., are time blocked for me every day of the week. And it just says morning routine. And my assistant knows that that's just very rarely. And if she needs to, she'll just call me first or text me and go, hey, you know, can you do an 8:30 or whatever? And that, yeah, I'll do it. But those, that time is precious to me because that's, I spend time with my queen. That's my fiance. You know, sometimes we'll go work out. Sometimes we'll have breakfast or whatever.
That's awesome.
You know, I do my morning routine with my mindset stuff. It's when I'll just kind of catch up on some things and I'll start the day where I'm not at a frantic pace and things like that. And I kind of ramp myself. I'm using ramp up a lot today. I don't know why. up into the routine of the day. And so guys, you've been time blocking. So, you know, many of you guys listen to this right now. You're like, oh, I got it. I don't know. Let's pick something crazy like job descriptions, right? Oh, I got to write job descriptions for my company or figure them out, right? So you time block it for 1 hour. You pick a day, you time block it, you shut your phone off, you honor it like you would honor Mrs. Jones's appointment.
Yep.
And you do the thing you said you would do. It's that, it's really no more complicated than that. And that's Absolutely. How you get stuff done. So I wanted to take the mystery out of that because so many people are like, explain this time blocking thing. And I'm like, well, have you ever scheduled an appointment and honored it? Yeah. Well, you time blocked.
Right. You should look at it almost like we all did it in high school and maybe college for those who, you know, went to university. Mm-hmm. Like you had your time blocks. You got your schedule at the beginning of the semester saying, hey, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you got this class. Tuesday, Thursday, you have this one. And they may be at different times, but you have the schedule and you're sitting in that classroom or at least on a Zoom call, whatever's going on these days, right? Yeah. And so after that, for some reason, we just feel like, oh, I'm just going to put it on my to-do list and figure it out at some point in time. But really, once you start using your calendar, I put everything in there from like workouts to massages to calls with clients and potential prospects. And when you honor your calendar, the mantra that I use is like, if it's not on my calendar, it doesn't exist.
Yep.
And so I'm not big. I think I heard you say this on a recent podcast. It's like, hey, contractors, if you just answer your phone, you get more business. Mm-hmm. So this goes a little bit against that in a way. But when I'm in an appointment, like if we're talking right now, I cannot answer my phone call because sure. I'm honoring this conversation. And so I even time block that. I really push everyone to schedule a call with me. Mm-hmm. That way it's on my calendar. This just happened this morning at the gym. There's a guy, I'm thinking about hiring him as a trainer. And I sent him a Calendly link and I was like, hey, please book a time. And he's like, hey, Thursday, does this time work for you? Can we make it 30 minutes instead of 15? Yeah, book it. I'll update it. And then we can go from there instead of like, hey, what works for you this day or that day? And so time blocking, I mean, you got to live and die by it in a way.
Dude, I used to fight this whole schedule thing for years when I was younger.
It feels so corporate, right?
Yeah. And yeah, there's still days that I still have an attitude about it, to be honest, if I'm being totally honest here. Like, you know,
yeah.
Today was one of them. Like I went to a workout class with the queen and it was like, I hate being told that I have to be at a class at a certain time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't like that. But here's what I've come to learn about this time blocking thing, taking control of your day. Number one, here's a few things I've learned. First thing is you have enough time. Everybody likes to say they don't have enough time. Mm-hmm. We all have enough time for the shit that's important to us.
Yeah.
And that we identify as the priority at the time. So number one, if you're telling yourself you don't have enough time, now, true, you don't have enough time to do everything. But you do have enough time to do the things that you should be doing. And you also have enough time to delegate and outsource the things that you shouldn't be doing. So at the end of the day, push aside that BS. Second thing I've learned is when you take control, let me flip it. When you don't take control of how you are spending your blocks of time blocking your energy, whatever term we want to use here today, you become a victim to whatever comes your way. You are now in reactive mode instead of being the initiator and being on the attack. And so that's a mental shift for me is I know when something hits my calendar, I know I'm in control. I even plan, like I have time blocked here today for her and I to go for a walk in between all the interviews I have today.
You have to, otherwise interviews like will get scheduled over.
So it's like I plan an hour of chill time And then her and I talked this morning. I just planned the chill time. And then we were coming back from the gym and she's like, well, maybe we go for a walk or something during your time. And yeah. I'm like, cool, let's do it. This doesn't take the fun out of your life. I want to share that with people. It actually gives you control, makes you not the victim, puts you on the assault of how you're going to win the day and right. all that good stuff.
Yeah, I've definitely found that to be true for myself. And I mean, even the concert I went to last night, it was in my calendar. I sent the invite to my fiance and I didn't send it to my friends because they were visiting in town. They didn't have anything else on the calendar, but I want to make sure that I block it out so that a client doesn't book a call during that time. And I'm like, okay, I got to cancel on you. They thought they got the confirmation email and thought it was going to happen. And now it looks worse than, oh, they look at my booking appointment. They can't even book that time because it's already blocked out on my calendar, right? Like Tuesdays are my podcast days, for example, when I have people on my show. And then Thursdays may be a different day. So if you use some sort of booking software, this can help you take the ideas out of your head, put it into paper, and then set the rules in the software to kind of play by your ideal schedule.
So those that are listening right now, you might not be running a podcast and some of the other things that we're talking about here, but the same concepts apply. Like you can time block a couple times throughout the day that you return phone calls. All right. Yep. You can time block when you're going to create content for your business, write a blog, shoot a video, whatever it might be. You can, I've known people that have, and again, a lot of you guys that are listening, I get it. You're still working in the field. All right. And you have to actually produce the work. I get that. But that doesn't mean you blow off all the other shit in the business. So you could literally time block the first hour and a half of each morning. Get up earlier, by the way. Okay. Go to bed earlier and quit watching so much Netflix or whatever. And wake up an hour and a half earlier and spend the first hour and a half working on your marketing, you know, call it Marketing Monday and, you know, whatever. Give each day a theme where you work on your business in some way, shape, or form. Time block that shit. And then you go, because I'll tell you right now, that hour and a half or whatever it is in the morning, you guys, is actually more important than you producing the work. Because that's going to help you scale and grow your business and get you out of the field eventually, if that's what you want.
Exactly. It's the big picture vision stuff, the stuff that you said that you're focusing on now. You've got your coaches, you've got your team members who help you kind of run with the vision, but you take that time to actually plan and determine what do we want to focus on this quarter? What's our big rocks, right? What are our big goals? And all the smaller stuff that's still important, maybe you don't have to necessarily do all those things. You can delegate or automate a lot of that using software or people, right? Systems.
Mm-hmm. All right. So before we get out of here, let's talk a little bit about the real estate game. How long have you been doing that?
I started in 2018 and I learned, you know, wholesaling, off-market stuff, got my real estate license. So I'm doing it more big picture, like referrals and being able to work anywhere. I'm actually doing it all virtually right now from Denver.
Sweet. So what are some things you're starting to see or you've been seeing that would be helpful to a home improvement contractor right now, just as far as real estate is concerned?
So I have heard the struggles of that. You know, a lot of people just have a hard time finding good people. That's actually specifically one reason I personally have not gotten really into the whole flipping business, because I know it is a lot more hands-on and management style. Mm-hmm. So if you can automate as much as you can and systematize things, great. But I know in that kind of business, what I do may not be 100% applicable because you've got supplies and materials and labor and actual people on site to manage. Mm-hmm. But I mean, accountability is huge. I really leverage technology. A lot of times we try to do it all in our head and it's a lot to manage. You know, you don't have to drive by the job site to see if your people are working, FaceTime them. Are they at the house? Right?
Yeah.
You just save yourself a 30-minute trip in that case. So I'd really recommend people leverage technology. It's a lot easier than you think. It's how I have clients do inspections in Houston and I'm like, hey, how's everything going? Cool. Show me the house. What's the problem? We'll negotiate a price reduction or a repair from 1,000 miles away. Right.
Yeah.
So I would really harp on that piece. Again, just use the technology available to you and it'll really save you time.
You know, I like that. There's an app called, I know we're like an affiliate of these guys. I don't think there's any money. I don't think we get money. I just think we're a referral partner, a company called Bonjoro.
Okay.
So this is an app that you use on your mobile where I can send a video and then I can email it to you and then it'll notify me when you watch it. So I know that you saw it. So like that's one piece of technology that I think a contractor could use to connect with a homeowner to meaning like they're at work or they're out of town and you want to communicate the progress of their project. Like,
right.
You know, guys, if you're not communicating and keeping that relationship warm, they're making up their own story in their own head of what's happening on the job site. I know a lot of contractors work with people that don't live in the same town. The house is empty. The property is empty. Like you're in Denver and you're doing deals in Houston right now. So yeah, technology is huge. We use it a lot. Chris, you probably don't know this. We have a sales training program called Shinfu Sales Training. Long story, but we, for 6 years, we've been encouraging contractors not to run around doing estimates. It all starts with a picture or a video. And most of our several hundred people that are in this program, they're closing deals without ever setting foot on the property. Then they'll go out and do a site visit to confirm everything and then collect a deposit check, right?
That's
but they're
genius.
Not wasting all the time driving around. There's apps out there right now. You know, let me get a quick plug here for my buddies, Jeff at Groundwork. He saw where this was going. He saw what we were doing with our sales process. He created an app to make it easier for people to collect videos from homeowners, and homeowners love it. So I find that most of the technology, the fighting of technology comes from the contractor, not the customer.
Right.
So you guys that are contractors, get your heads out of your asses.
And just ask questions to other people in your field, right? Like, hey, what are your best softwares or your best tools that you use currently? And you may hear something really cool. Like I went to a real estate event back in May and I was writing down a bunch of things that I'm like, really? That thing does that? I've been doing this manually. That could save me hours a week, right? For 10 bucks a month or whatever it costs.
Well, even the technology, we were joking about answering the phone. You're like, there's times I can't answer the phone. You could do something as simple as you could take your phone. I'll just pick the iPhone, right? If I'm in a meeting and my phone rings, I can reply to that number via text with a short code, right? You could just put in the number 123 and it'll send a message saying, hey, Chris, your call is super important to me right now. I'm tied up. I'll call you in a few minutes when I'm done with my meeting. Like you could set up quick little autoresponders. There's so many ways, you know, if you're up 40 feet in the air on a ladder, don't answer your damn phone. All right. But you can, you know, or your voicemail at the very least should say, if I'm not answering your phone, it's because I'm
with the client or something.
I'm with the client, I'm on a ladder. And I will call you back as soon as I'm done. And if I don't, you can have my firstborn child or something.
Yeah. Or if you want to do the appointment thing, I would have an auto reply. I haven't done this actually. I just say, hey, please text me. Or my voicemail also tells people to text me. But you could have an auto reply that says, here's a short link, you know, like Bitly, you can shorten the link and say, here's a time to snag a spot directly on my calendar. And clients love that because they feel like they're in control. They scratch that off their bucket list. They're like, okay, I got a call with Tom at 2, you know, so it's off of their to-do list. They know you have a dedicated time in your calendar so you can be off the ladder, in your car, in your office, ready for that phone call.
Yeah, it's great. We have a lot of people that use Calendly and stuff like that to set these appointments. And I'm glad you brought that up, getting it off the to-do list. What I've found is, and this is me as a consumer of contracting services. We've done a lot around the house this year. If I call a company and I'm given the option of, like, say they don't answer, or I go to their website or whatever, and there's a thing to schedule an appointment, schedule a phone call, I take advantage of it 100 times, and here's the 100% of the time. And here's the thing, you guys, 100% of the time, I don't call any other contractors because in my mind, I've checked this box.
It's done.
It's
exactly
done. And stop lying to yourselves thinking that consumers just want to call around and shop you around. They don't. The reason they're shopping you around is they don't trust you. Okay.
Right.
Because you're making it hard to work with them. And so make it easy for people to work with you and they will not shop you around. It's really that simple.
100%.
So I hate inefficiency, man. It's funny when this happens every week at some point. I have a partial day each week where I'm burning with rage and anger and I want to destroy the earth and things like that and it's usually because of inefficiency. Like I've screwed
myself.
Well,
you have to go to like the DPS office or something.
Yeah, I've done something stupid.
Yeah.
And then I'm pissed. And so
same here.
It's funny. One of my most important values is my time. And so that's why inefficiency drives me crazy. So those of you who listen to this, seriously, take to heart what we've been talking about here, kind of a different spin on time blocking and some of that stuff. Chris, somebody wants to learn more about what you got going on, checking out your podcast and all that stuff. Where do they go to listen to what you have happening?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So my podcast is called Entrepreneur Motivation Podcast. You can just look up my name and you'll find it. I'm also most active on Instagram, and my handle is chrisbello_. That's just B as in boy, E-L-L-O. And then, of course, chrisbello.com is like where you can find all my stuff as well. So thank you for the plug opportunity, Tom.
Absolutely. We'll get all that in the show notes. And dude, I appreciate you hanging out here on The Fight with us today, man.
Likewise. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right. Hey, everybody. Appreciate you hanging out. Make sure you head to iTunes, give us a review, share this with another home improvement contractor so that we can keep, what is it, raising all the boats by raising the tide or whatever that quote is.
Yeah, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Rising tide lifts all boats. There you go. So share it with somebody else so we could all get better together. And with that, Travis, rock us out with the guitars. We'll see you guys next time on The Fight.